Hi, it's Ian Pickus, and we're back in the Congressional Corner today with Vermont U.S. Senator Peter Welch, a Democrat who's been in office since 2023 after a long career in the U.S. House. Senator Welch, welcome back.
Thank you.
You know, it occurred to me there's an election going on right now, and you have an unusual experience of an election year where you're not on the ballot this time. How's that feel?
You know what? I got to tell you, it really feels as good as people told me it would. It's really nice. You just keep focusing on your work and you don't have to campaign. It's not so much campaigning. It's you've got to raise the money, but it feels really good.
Do you feel like there's too much money in politics as we speak?
Oh, it's terrible. It's really corrupting the political system. I mean, the biggest mistake the Supreme Court made among many is Citizens United when they basically opened the floodgates to big money. And now you have billionaires just pouring money in, and it's dark money. Nobody knows who is the person signing the check, and they don't have to disclose it. And of course, the more ads you see, whether it's digital or on TV, the less people pay attention. No, I think money is a real crisis situation in our politics.
So let's talk about an upcoming anniversary. That is the Vermont floods of 1 year ago, which were really damaging to many, many communities that you represent. So as we hit the 1 year mark, how does the recovery look to you?
Well, first of all, let me just say, it's really hard. If it was your farm, your family, your house, your business, you got some immediate help. But then really getting back on your feet and trying to get back to normal is very, very tough. And I took a tour. I've been taking a tour this past month of many of our hardest hit towns, Londonderry, Weston, Hardwick, Barrie, Montpelier, Johnson, and just the work that still has to be done is significant. You know, the second point I want to make is that this is going to continue. We've had 73 major disaster declarations in the past year. And a recent report came out saying it is costing all of us about $500 million a year. And that in one good part of the report, it says if you put a dollar into resiliency, doing things like what Brattleboro did when they created a floodplain to mitigate flooding, you can save $318. So climate change is real. These storms are coming fast and furious. And we really have to do everything we can to have resilience be a part of recovery.
How do you accomplish that? I mean, we know that the infrastructure bill, which was Biden's top priority, perhaps, you know, that took everything that Democrats in Washington had to get over the finish line after years and years of conversation. But what about going forward?
Well, going forward, if there's a disaster like there is in Vermont, and Vermont led the way by the way, after Irene in August of 2011, if you are in a situation where there's a 8-inch culvert and you just on the old days, we're only able to replace it with another 8-inch culvert when the new conditions make it very clear you need 16 inches. We changed FEMA regulations to allow for the upgrade. And that was very wise, and it really helped Vermont in these last floods. But that's where we have to have some reforms in FEMA, where there is much more flexibility to do in the rebuilding the resiliency steps that will allow us to dodge the bullet the next time a major storm comes. It also means making decisions about buyouts and not building where we know there's going to be another flood. You know, we have a real problem with that in many places in Vermont where our town centers are right by the stream that flows on the edge of town. So this is just something that we've got to take much more seriously than we have in the past. And that's why I do think where FEMA is terrific in the immediate aftermath of the event, there's got to be some flexibility for the rebuilding where you have flexible money that is controlled by the local community that has the knowledge and the investment in building back better.
This might be a question better put to FEMA, but Does FEMA reject too many claims? Because we've been writing about storm recovery for the past year all over the Northeast, and a lot of communities had to appeal and appeal and appeal to be made whole.
I think they do reject too many, and it's very frustrating. That's one of the other things that's so heartbreaking and emotionally draining. If it's your business or your home, it's the regulations seem to never end, and you seem to get conflicting answers. And what I've learned in watching FEMA is I think they're really terrific in the immediate aftermath of the storm, and that is really essential. They have systems in place. They get food and recovery and provide shelter. My view is they do a really good job. But, they've had 73 major events, so they're in Vermont, and then the next storm comes. They got to go to Hawaii. And there's real demands on them. But the second thing is that when it comes to that recovery and making decisions about the community, you literally have to depend on the local people. That's really what I see is where we've got to make some changes. However well-run FEMA is, they're moving on to the next disaster. They've had a turnover in people who are liaison, let's call it, with the town of Johnson or the town of Barry. And you really have to depend on the local people. So that's why I'm advocating with Brian Schatz that we have a supplemental appropriation that goes into what's called disaster relief, because that is the fund that is flexible and allows for much more local leadership.
And he's the one of the senators from Hawaii.
That's correct. And he's the subcommittee chairman on the relevant committee. But he's helping his folks recover from that horrible fire in Lahaina.
Right. You mentioned the farms in Vermont. I read the other day that the farm bill might not be finished this year. There's been reporting that it's unlikely to pass. Does that sound right to you?
It stalled. We have to pass it. We've always had a hard time passing the farm bill. We've always managed to do it. Things are, as we all know, very difficult and contentious here in D.C., and there's real different points of view. But bottom line, the farm bill is really essential for nutrition. It's essential for our environment. It's essential for the well-being of our farmers. And, this is tends to be a regional dispute more than a partisan dispute. But my view is I'm going to do everything I possibly can for us to get to the goal line and pass a farm bill.
Do you think a one-year extension is likely in the meantime, or?
That's a fallback. We extended it a year. I don't like that, but it's better than having it fail, that's for sure. But we need changes. The fact is there are provisions in the farm bill that are really beneficial to local agriculture. There are also provisions in the farm bill where farmers are going to be getting income by helping us reduce carbon emissions through conservation programs and soil management programs. It's unfortunate that one of the areas in dispute, and this is partisan, is that there was significant investment in climate-related initiatives where farmers benefit financially by helping us deal with carbon emissions. And a lot of my Republican colleagues are lined up against that, and they want to strip that out. So that's a big area of contention. And frankly, I don't see why we wouldn't want to provide the help to farmers by helping them change their practices that allow for better crop yields and more sustainable agriculture. The bottom line here is you want to keep farmers going and find ways where you're not imposing burdens on them through mandates, but helping them through conservation programs where they actually financially are better off as a result of the passage of the Farm Bill.
Vermont Senator Peter Welch is a Democrat in office since 2023. We're so grateful for your time, Senator Welch. And when we come back the next time, let's talk about getting online.
Okay. Thank you.